Hey, welcome in. I'm Mia.
And I'm Leo.
This is After Work Tea Talk, a tiny English listening podcast for people who have a job, a life, and absolutely no energy left for flashcards.
20 minutes a day, 20 minutes of English. Drink something warm and just listen.
No grammar drills, no vocabulary lists. Just two people after work talking.
Today's topic, should I get a cat or just keep watching cat videos?
Let's get into it. Yesterday, we were talking about weekend brunch. And I did something after we recorded that episode. I went home and opened my bookmarks folder, the one I never talk about. Don't tell anyone, but I have a folder called Maybe One Day. And inside, 47 links to cat shelters, to adoption pages, to how to prepare your home for a cat guides, to best cat food for beginners articles, to a YouTube channel of a guy who fosters kittens, to a Reddit thread called Things I Wish I Knew Before Adopting a Cat, to a blog post titled What Your Cat's Sleeping Position Says About Your Relationship.
47? That's not researching, that's a relationship. You're in a 2-year long-distance relationship with the idea of a cat, and the cat doesn't even know you exist. You've put more effort into this than some people put into actual relationships.
I know, it's ridiculous when you say it out loud. I've been in a relationship with the idea of a cat for 2 years. I know the names of every cat at the shelter near my office. There's a calico called Pepper, a black one named Shadow, and a gray tabby named Olive. I know their ages. I know their personalities. I know which ones are good with kids and which ones need a quiet home. I've watched so many first week with a new cat videos that I could probably write one myself. I know the top 5 mistakes new cat owners make. I know what to buy, what not to buy, which plants are toxic to cats. I keep a list on my phone. I could pass a test on this, a professional certification in pre-cat ownership.
But you've never actually gone to the shelter.
Never. I walk past it every Tuesday on my way to get coffee. It's a small building with a big glass window. You can see the cat trees from the street. Sometimes I see a cat sitting in the window just watching people walk by. There's a poster that says, Adopt, Don't Shop. And I look at it every time. For 2 years, every Tuesday, 52 Tuesdays a year, that's over 100 times I've read that same poster.
So what stopped you?
Everything. What if my apartment's too small for a cat to be happy? What if I'm not home enough? What if the cat doesn't like me? What if I'm allergic, but I just don't know it yet? What if I get a cat and discover I'm not a cat person? What if the cat hates my apartment and tries to escape? What if I adopt a cat and then realize I've made a 10-year commitment I can't keep? My brain is really good at finding reasons not to do things. It's like my brain has a full-time job, protect me from decisions, and it's excellent at its job. Top performer. Gets a bonus every year.
But you still have the folder. You still walk past the shelter. You still look at the window.
That's the thing. I don't delete the folder. I keep adding to it. It grows. Last week, I found a new cat, a gray tabby named Olive. 3 years old. Loves windowsills. Good with other cats. Her profile says she's shy at first, but very sweet once she trusts you. I read her profile 6 times. I imagined her on my windowsill in the morning, looking outside. I imagined coming home and her being there at the door, waiting. I imagined her sleeping on my bed, curled up in a little ball next to my feet.
6 times.
I know. That's when you know it's not just curiosity. It's something else, a pull. But I still haven't walked through that door. And I don't know what's on the other side. Maybe I'm scared that if I go in, I have to make a decision. And right now, not deciding feels safer.
So let me ask you this. What do you actually want? The cat or the idea of having a cat?
That's the question I've been avoiding because I'm not sure I know the answer. I think I want the feeling of coming home to something that's happy to see me. Not a person who needs to talk about their day or ask me questions or needs anything from me. Just a warm thing that purrs. A small life that doesn't care about my to-do list or my deadlines or my inbox.
That's very honest.
But is that a good enough reason to get a cat? I want a warm thing that purrs. It sounds selfish when I say it out loud.
I don't think it's selfish. I think it's human. We all want that. to be wanted without having to perform. And if you want to know what it's actually like, not the Instagram version with the filter and the nice lighting, but the real version, the 5 a.m. wake up version, I know someone who can tell you. My sister. My sister went on a work trip to Singapore last year. 3 weeks. She has a cat, a black and white rescue named Dumpling. She adopted him from a shelter 4 years ago. He was already 6 years old then, so now he's 10. Old man energy. She asked me to take care of him while she was gone.
Wait, you? Don't you? I mean, you're not exactly a cat person. You told me once that you're neutral on cats.
I wasn't a cat person. I said yes because family. What else could I say? No, I won't take care of your pet while you're in Singapore. That's not an option. So I said yes. And then day one, 5 a.m, I'm sleeping. And Dumpling jumps on my chest. Full weight. He's not a small cat. He just sits there, staring at me. I open my eyes and there's a cat face this close.
What did you do?
I said, and I'm not proud of this. I said, what do you want? And he just kept staring, no blinking. So I got up, I filled his bowl, he ate for 30 seconds, looked at me, and walked away to the windowsill. That was it. That was the whole interaction. I was awake at 5:15 for no reason.
That's very cat. They don't explain themselves.
Right. And then week two, I realized I was buying cat food that cost more than my lunch. He has preferences, strong ones. He refused the cheap brand. I bought the store brand, and he looked at the bowl, then looked at me, then walked away. Full judgment. I could hear him thinking, really? This?
Sounds like my friend Jess. Some cats are just high maintenance. Or maybe all cats are.
And the litter box. Nobody talks about the litter box when they show you cute kitten photos. You have to scoop it every day, every single day. If you forget once, your whole apartment smells like a farm. I didn't sign up for farm duty.
So the experience was terrible?
No, that's the confusing part. It was terrible and wonderful at the same time. Because at night, Dumpling would find me. I'd be on the couch, working on my laptop, and he'd walk over, slow, like he owned the place, and then he'd sit right on my keyboard. I couldn't type. I had to stop, completely stop.
He forced you to stop.
Exactly. He didn't care about my emails. He didn't care about my deadlines. He just wanted warmth. My laptop was warm and my full attention. For 5 minutes, and then he'd clean his paw and leave. Just like that. Mission complete.
So you're saying a cat is better than a wellness app?
I'm saying a cat is a tiny drill sergeant for rest. You don't choose when to pause. The cat chooses for you. And you know what? I needed that. I didn't know I needed it, but I did.
So did you get a cat after your sister came back?
No. My sister came back, Dumpling went home, and I felt relieved and also a little sad. That's the part I don't know how to explain. I was happy to have my mornings back, but I also missed that small weight on my chest at 5 a.m.
Relieved because no more litter box, sad because no more keyboard cat.
Exactly, and now I understand why people watch cat videos. They want that small moment of connection, the purring, the slow blink, the warm weight. Without the responsibility, without the litter box.
That's exactly what my folder is. 47 links, 0 litter boxes. Speaking of which, let me talk about something. I know 10 words about cats now, which is funny because I don't even have one. But I've been studying cat life for 2 years. When my friends talk about their pets, I understand every word. I could probably teach a class on cat vocabulary. So let's go through them. Our listeners might be in the same boat, watching cat videos, reading adoption pages, not sure what the words actually mean in real life.
That's a good idea. Let's do it. Number one, adopt.
Adopt. It means to take an animal from a shelter and make it part of your family. I've been thinking about adopting a cat for 2 years, but I still haven't done it. That's my life in one sentence. A sentence that has been true for 730 days.
That's a very true example. Number two, pet.
Pet is an animal you keep at home, like a cat or a dog. My friend's pet wakes her up at 5 every morning. Leo. That was your dumpling story.
Also very true. Number 3, shelter.
Shelter is a place where homeless animals are taken care of by kind people. You can visit a shelter first just to see if you're ready. I think that's good advice. You don't have to adopt on your first visit. You can just go, sit, and look. The cats don't judge you.
Good advice. Number 4, litter box.
A box with sand or special material inside for cats to use indoors. Cleaning the litter box is nobody's favorite job. Nobody, not even the most devoted cat lovers.
I can confirm that from 3 weeks of personal experience. Number 5, scratch.
To rub something with your claws or fingernails. My cat scratches the sofa when she's bored. It's not personal. It's not revenge. It's just what cats do. They scratch things. Sofas, curtains, cardboard boxes.
They do that, and there's no way to stop them completely. You just have to accept that your sofa will have a few marks. Number 6, stray.
A stray animal is a homeless animal that lives on the street, without a home or a family. There's a stray cat near my office, and I've given her a name now. I call her Olive. Not the shelter Olive, this is a different Olive. A street Olive. She's gray and a little dirty and very shy.
You named a stray cat. That means she's not a stray anymore. She has a name. She has an identity. In my book, that makes her your cat.
That's a good point. Maybe I'm already a cat owner and I just don't know it yet. Maybe the cat chooses you, not the other way around. Number 7, cuddle.
To hold someone close in a loving and gentle way. The best part of having a cat is cuddling after a long day.
That's the part people dream about. The cuddling. The warmth. The feeling of another living being choosing to be near you.
Number 8, purr.
A soft, continuous sound a happy cat makes, like a small motor running inside their body. When a cat purrs on your lap, everything else stops. Work stops, the phone stops, your brain stops worrying, everything just stops for a moment.
That's the part I miss the most. Number 9, feed.
To give food to someone. I feed the stray cat outside every evening before dinner. I pour a small bowl of dry food and leave it by the door. She comes at about 6:30 now. It's become our routine. She expects me. I expect her.
And number 10, responsible.
Being in charge of taking care of something or someone. Having a pet means being responsible for another life. That's the big one. The word that stops people cold. It's not about the cost of food or the time for walks. It's about the fact that another living thing depends on you completely.
10 good words. And I think responsible is the scariest one. Because it's not about money or space. It's about the weight of knowing another living thing is waiting for you at home.
It is. It stops me. But maybe that's okay. Maybe being stopped is not the same as giving up.
All right. Real talk. We've spent a whole episode talking about cats, and neither of us has one.
That's very on brand for us.
It is, but the real topic isn't cats, is it?
No, it's not about cats at all. The real topic is about wanting something and being scared to try. It's about the gap between the idea and the action. That gap is where most of us live.
Exactly, and I think a lot of people listening have their own version of this. Maybe not a cat, maybe it's signing up for a class or sending that message or changing jobs or having a conversation they've been avoiding. The container is different, but the feeling is the same.
Yes, the cat is just the container. My container happens to be a gray tabby named Olive. Yours might be something completely different, but the feeling is universal. So let me give you 8 small things I've learned from 2 years of not getting a cat. These aren't just about cats, they're about any decision you've been sitting on.
Okay, let's hear them.
1, wanting something for 2 years doesn't mean you want it wrong. It doesn't mean you're not committed. It means you're careful. And that's okay. Not every desire needs to be acted on immediately. Some things need time to sit. The folder itself is not a sign of failure, it's a sign that you care enough to keep it.
That's reframing. I like it. You turned I haven't done it yet from failure into information about yourself. That's a powerful shift.
2, you can start before you're ready. Visit a shelter. Just walk in, no commitment. You don't have to sign anything. You don't have to take a cat home. You can just look. Sit on a bench, watch the cats, let them come to you, and if nothing happens, that's okay too.
That's a small positive action, the smallest possible step. and steps matter more than big plans. A small step today is better than a perfect plan next month.
3. If you're not sure, borrow someone else's version first. Offer to pet sit for a friend. 48 hours is enough. You'll know after that. The first morning when something jumps on your chest at 5 a.m., that will tell you everything you need to know.
That's genius. And it's honest. You can't fake the 5 a.m. test. Either you laugh about it later or you realize this is not for you. Both are valid outcomes.
4. The boring part is part of the deal. The litter box, the feeding schedule, the vet appointments, the cleaning. If you look at something and think, I want the fun part without the boring part, that's not wanting the thing. That's wanting the highlight reel, the Instagram posts, the cute videos.
That's a hard truth, but a good one. And it applies to everything. Jobs, relationships, hobbies. The boring part is always included.
5. You don't need to own a cat to learn from a cat. Watch how a cat sits in a sunbeam. They don't feel guilty about it. They don't think I should be doing something more productive right now. They just sit there and receive the warmth. That's a lesson we can all use. Without the litter box.
That's tiny joy. Pure tiny joy.
6. You know what I learned from Dumpling? The cat on your keyboard for 3 minutes is better than any relaxation app I've ever paid for. You don't choose to stop. The cat chooses for you. And sometimes that's exactly what you need. Someone or something else to hit the pause button, because you won't do it yourself.
7. If you try it and it's not for you, that's not failure. That's data. That's information about who you are. I tried cat sitting for a weekend and I learned that I prefer dogs, or I prefer no pets, or I prefer just watching videos from a distance. That's a win. You learn something real about yourself.
Permission to stop. That's 7. You're allowed to try something and then put it down. That's not quitting. That's learning.
And 8. You can always just keep watching cat videos. That's not a small decision. That's a 2-year relationship with the idea of something, and that has value too. The wanting is itself a kind of having. The folder, whether it's bookmarks or notes or dreams, the folder is not empty. It's full of attention. That counts.
So where does that leave me? I think I'll walk past that shelter tomorrow and I'll look at the poster and maybe, just maybe, this Tuesday I'll open the door.
That's all it takes. One door, one Tuesday.
You don't need to adopt a cat to learn what a cat can teach you. You just need to be still and let something small sit on your keyboard. All right, that's our show for today.
If you laughed, we did our job. If you felt seen, even better.
Thanks for spending your evening with us. See you after work.